to hear from the Word of God, if you were to hear to learn all about Jesus, if you're not afraid to say the word Holy Ghost, some of us remember that how we said that, you know, they've homogenized it a little bit these days by saying the Spirit, but he's the Holy Ghost. If you're willing to listen to him, then please fasten your seatbelts and put your seats and trays in the upright and locked position, because I love Jesus and I feel like preaching a little bit today. Amen. You know, I believe the question that I get asked the most is, preacher, how can I know the will of God for my life? How can I know that? Look closely at our passage for today. Psalm 32, verse 8. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
God speaking, saying, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. May the Lord add his blessing upon his eye. Look closely at what that says. I will instruct you. In other words, God is saying, I will give you a wise understanding. I will give you the wisdom that you need from me. You don't need the wisdom of man. We need the wisdom of Almighty God. He says, I will teach you. And in the original language, that's a pretty direct word there. In fact, it refers to archery and shooting an arrow and hitting the mark. Amen? See, when you preach, when you teach, you want to hit the mark. But when the Lord says something, he hits the mark every time. Amen? And so many times, you know, we say, Lord, what would you have me do? And Lord, I want to be obedient to you. And then the Lord gives us clear instructions. And then I've said so many times, you know, the very moment that we are thinking about being obedient to the Lord, we have just become disobedient to the Lord. And finally, he says, I will guide you. Divine counsel. You know, I try to guide my wife all the time. And that's kind of a moving target. We are newlyweds. We've been married 46 years, almost 47. And I would like to just share with you today that we love the Lord. And we never argue. Ever. There are times when we have intense fellowship. But we never argue. But the Lord says, I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will guide you. And then he says, my eye is on you. Isn't it good to know that the Lord's eye is upon us? Isn't that a wonderful, marvelous thing? You see, I love that whole idea. You know, if you think about Psalm 139, the psalmist says, where can I go to be away from you, Lord? When I rise in the morning, thou. When I lie down at night, thou. When I get up, when I go out, you surround me all and about. In other words, the Lord's eyes are always upon us. Amen? And that's what we try to teach our children at Living Hope Baptist Church. And you will notice that we have the children here in our sanctuary today, and they are remarkable young people. Amen? They love the Lord. And so many of these young children, I could bring them up right now and they would lead us in prayer without the slightest problem. Why? Because we've trained them. It's not just that mama's watching or the pastor, but the Lord's watching. And we want to honor the Lord. You see, Scripture cannot be any clearer than what it says right here. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. God the Father has a plan for your daily life. Mark this in your margin, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. It reads, the Lord will guide you continually. You see, that's what I need. I need the Lord's guidance continually. God the Son has a plan for your eternal life. What does John 14:6 say? We quote this passage every single week at Living Hope. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I looked at that in the original language, and I've looked at all the subtext. I've looked at the side text. I've looked at all the commentaries, and here's what that means. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to heaven except through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says that very thing. There is salvation found under no other name but the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of you that are sitting here today that may just be visiting, whether you're visiting with Living Hope or you're visiting with Emmanuel Baptist Church, or you're watching on the internet or listening to an audio CD, here's what we want you to understand. We're not here to trick you. We're not here to use fancy words or sleight of hand. We're not here to try to get you or manipulate you in any way whatsoever. We have a goal that we're going to tell you right now. It's that if you came here without Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, it is the prayer of every single Christian sitting here today that you do not leave the same way you came in. We don't want to. We would hate to get to heaven and not see you there. You know, I remember seeing him in church on that Sunday morning where Emmanuel Baptist and Living Hope Baptist came together. Where is he? And that's not what we want to see. And so God has a plan for your daily life. God the Son has a plan for your eternal life. And we see that God the Holy Spirit is in the Scriptures as well. In John 16:13, Jesus speaking, saying, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." It is so good to know that God the Father, God the, in unity with God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has a plan for my life. Now, I'm looking around the sanctuary, and I know that some of you are hearing me for the first time, and you may notice that I try to pay close attention to my notes. It's not because I might forget what to say. It's to keep me on track. You see, the ladies have some good food over there. And what we want to do is, while I might have the gift of being able to preach all day, I'm not sure you have the giftedness of being able to sit here and listen all day. So if I stick to my notes, everything works out a lot better. Because you know what? God is so good. God is so good. I can talk about the Lord all day long. Hallelujah. And so we look and there's the Father above controlling us in all of our things and worthy of all praise. The redeemed of God, that's those people that have accepted Jesus Christ of Lord, are indwelt by Jesus. You are inheritors of heaven. You are part of the royal priesthood. Amen. Christ directs our footsteps, and finally, we have the Holy Spirit that convicts our hearts. You know, when we sit there and we're thinking about doing something, and you hear that still small voice whispering in your ear, "Don't do that. Do this." You see that sweet voice, that still voice you hear? That's not you. Your voice is the one saying, "Do that." The Holy Spirit says, "Don't do that. Listen to the Holy Spirit." So whoever and wherever you are, whether here in the sanctuary or listening online, you must understand that God has a plan for your life. You specifically. And it's not just a plan for some people either. It's not just a plan for the pastors or the deacons or the elders. It's not just a plan for the worship leaders or the praise team and band. It is a plan for every single person's life, which means that God has a plan for your life. If you look on the screen, I believe we have this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The great apostle of grace, Apostle Paul, writing, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Good works. Doing stuff. Meaning what? God has a plan for us that are older, and God has a plan for us that are younger. Students and children, listen to me. Students, look up here. Pick up your eyes and look up here at Pastor Larry. Don't let anyone tell you that you are too young. Don't let anyone tell you that you are too young to serve God. You are not. I don't care if you're 5 years old, you can serve God. Amen? So, if you're one of our more mature aged folks in here today, you know, if your hair looks like mine, friends, for those of us in the middle, those of us that are younger, let's draw wisdom from those folks, those saints that have been around so many years. They have great value. They've served the Lord for a long, long time. And so let's draw our energy from the young. Let's draw wisdom from our elders. And let's get out there and do the one thing that we've been called to do, which is share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And make, you know, I tell the church each week, why don't we do this? Why don't we make headlines in heaven? I want the Lord to look down and say, "Look what Emmanuel Baptist Church did on Sunday morning. Look at that." I want the saints rejoicing in that.
Okay? And so, friends, actually, I thought you'd be a little more excited about that. Well, let me circle back and pick you guys up before I start really preaching. Amen? God has a specific plan for your life. It's your duty to find that plan. It's your duty to follow that plan. And it's your duty to finish that plan. But I can tell you this, that plan begins with the gospel. It begins with the gospel. People get so wrapped up in what to do next. But all I really want to do is to please the Lord and to accomplish what the Lord has given me to do. You know, I just love a passage that we have. I think we have it on the screen. In Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. Reading, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. How can I put that in context for us today? Think of it this way. The Lord laid on the hearts of all of the previous pastors and elders and members of Living Hope Baptist Church. He laid on the hearts on all the previous pastors of Emmanuel Baptist Church. All of the things that he wanted these churches to accomplish in Christ. I want to leave nothing undone of the things that the Lord has given us to do. Amen? Isn't that what you want? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I want to leave nothing undone. So I have three quick points today. I know some of you guys were looking in consternation at your notes wondering, when in the world is this guy getting to the notes? Well, we're there. So jot this down, our first point today. To live with God as our guide, first you must surrender your life to God's will. You must surrender your life to God's will. You ready for a secret? I love these kinds of things. The starting point for knowing God's plan for your life is to surrender your will to God's will, no matter where that may leave you. No matter where it may lead you. No matter how uncomfortable that might be. You know, I preached this next verse last week, but let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I love hearing the pages of our Bibles turning. And when somebody with a paper Bible gets there, please say amen. Oh, there we go. Reading from the Word of God, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul speaking, saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add His blessing upon His Word. I love those passages. Listen, guys. The only way to transform your mind is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the only way. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, this is what you need to do first. You need to live like a Christian. Verse 2 in Romans chapter 12 next says, you must, in order to live like a Christian, you must think like a Christian. And the only way to think like a Christian is to renew your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, I talk to our young people all the time. And I say, you know, when you're going to this function or that function, or you're singing somewhere else, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you belong to. You know, our young ladies can tell you, some of them are not young ladies anymore, but they're all grown up, that every time I see our young ladies, I ask them, have you been a good girl? It's the first thing I ask them. Have you been a good girl for the Lord? You must completely surrender to Jesus Christ. How complete must that surrender be? Well, think of it this way. Think of it as writing God a blank check on your life. And here's what you're saying when you write that blank check. You just write in, Lord, your will, anytime, anywhere, any cost. Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. It's like writing that check. And here's why we do that. Don't be afraid of the will of God. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfectly. Not your love for God, but God's love for you. How much did God love you? God loved you so much that Jesus Christ, our Lord, went to the cross. He stretched out His arms on that cross and He says, I love you, I love you, I love you this much. And He died on that cross for our sins. You know, the pictures, the photos that we find in our Bibles of that, they dress that up a little bit. They don't make it quite look like what it was. It was a terrible, terrible thing. Don't be afraid of the will of God. Don't be afraid of where He might send you either. Don't be afraid of what God is doing. Well, preacher, oh my goodness, preacher, pastor, He might send me to Mongolia. That's true. But if you do go to Mongolia, here's what I promise you. You'll be happier in Mongolia than anywhere else on the face of the earth. Why? Because God is in it. See, I want to be right where God is sending me. Amen? So not only do we surrender your life to God's will, next, we want to saturate your life with God's Word. Saturate your life with God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I cannot stress that enough. Guys, the very reason we preachers, the very reason we pastors, the very reason we Bible teachers encourage daily Bible reading is that so much of God's will is already revealed there in His Word. You see, think of it this way. This is a love letter from God's heart to my heart. And God is telling me how to live my life. You know, a lot of people think, well, it has a lot of thou shalt nots. Don't do this. Don't do that. If I become a Christian, I won't be able to do whatever. It's not that at all. You see, friends, what God is saying, it's not the thou shalt nots. What He's saying, if you do that, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to harm your life. It's going to impede you being able to serve Me. That's what the Lord is saying. Are we to not do the things? Absolutely. God is saying, don't hurt yourself. Sorry about that. I preached my way right off my notes. Marianne, you're supposed to keep a closer eye on Pastor than that. Look at it this way. Let God's Word saturate your heart. Let God's Word saturate your mind. Read your Bible so much that if you were to cut yourself, bibline would come out. Amen? And you will begin to think godly thoughts. So not only surrender your life to God's will, not only saturate your life with God's Word, we want you to succeed in life with God's wisdom. Succeed in life with God's wisdom. Now, I know that may seem like a duh moment for all of us. That may seem obvious. And I know preachers constantly state the obvious. Sometimes we repeat ourselves. I would like to share with you that my wife just hates that. She says, "Honey, I got it the first time." I said, "Well, I don't always get things the first time. And once I got them, I got them, but they're kind of embedded in my life." You know, Living Hope already knows this, but I'm a pretty regimented guy. I focus on the Word of God. I focus on things very specifically. And I know where things are in the Word of God. I know how to find things. And so, but I'm that way in life as well. And if Miss Ruth Ann, she keeps the cream of mushroom soup in our pantry on a specific shelf. If she moves it one shelf up, I would never find it. And all of God's women said, "Amen." Do you have a husband like that? "Honey, it's not in here anywhere." Yes, it is, and you have to get up and come find it for us. Amen? So listen, guys, saturate yourself with God's Word. Surrender your will, and then God will begin to give you His wisdom. Now, here's the best part. How do we get God's wisdom? This is so simple. We just ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5 reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That passage right there in God's Word says right there, it will be given. You will receive wisdom. Now, let me share this. Asking for God's wisdom is more than just a prayer shopping list. You know, most of us show up to pray and we got our shopping list. We unload our shopping list at the cart, and then we go on about our daily business. But here's what I would love for you to do. May I make a suggestion? If you expect God's wisdom, spend as much time quietly listening to the Lord as you do talking to the Lord. And then you will find that God is going to speak His will into your heart. You will get godly wisdom. And here's the best part. Something we forget about all the time. Did you know that the Lord loves spending time with you? Did you know that? Did you know that, Miss Ruth Ann? Did you know that, Miss Dottie? All the way in the back there, Miss Shirley. No, Miss Shirley's over here in the front. I'm sorry about that. I saw you. Did you know that? Did you know the Lord loves spending time with you? Children, did you know that the Lord loves spending time with you? And why? Well, did you know that we can also minister to the Lord? The Lord can minister to our hearts, of course, but we can also minister to the Lord. Now, what am I talking about? Watch this. In every single church service, the way that it should go is that we first minister to the Lord by praising Him corporately. We praise Him corporately. That means we open our mouths and we sing. Now, you will notice that I generally get all the way down in front so that as I make my joyful noise, I am surrounded by a congregation making a beautiful noise. And that's what I love to do. Every church service, we first minister to the Lord by praising Him corporately. Psalm chapter 103, verse 1 says these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know, we began our service today by singing that song. And so the idea that church service begins by ministering to the Lord with praise and worship. And now you may be confused about those terms. Well, Pastor Larry, what is the difference between praise and worship? Well, praise is how we normally start our services. And praise are songs that praise God. They're an acknowledgement of who He is. They're acknowledgement of what He's worthy of. Amen? And here's the secret. Praise costs us nothing. It costs us nothing. We can sing joyful songs. We can praise God. And it costs us nothing. Ah, but then we go into worship. It's not just acknowledgement of God and who He is. We submit our will to Him. And we worship a holy God. Because of who He is. You know, I approach the pulpit each and every week. I cannot imagine that God could use me to speak His word. And as I come near to the pulpit, as I come near to the stand, I feel deep in my heart the words of God saying, "Take thy shoes from off thy feet, for you are standing on holy ground." And I want to come here prepared. I want to come here so prepared that I don't dare do anything but speak the words of God. That's all that I care about. And so we worship because we submit to God. And then after we first minister to the Lord, we should then minister to the saved. Sometimes we forget that. God's people show up to be ministered to. You need to be taught the Word of God. The preacher's job is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that we are here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And how do you get equipped to do the work of the ministry if you aren't taught from the Word of God? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That's what we are to do. We minister to the saved with the reading and teaching of God's Word, the fellowship of the saints. Living Hope Baptist Church, we take that pretty serious, the fellowship of the saints. I'm pretty sure if you said hi to a Living Hope Church person this morning, you got a hug. And it's just how they are. You know, can't do nothing with them. You guys know I'm kidding. And finally, we minister to the lost. We minister to the Lord. We minister to the redeemed. We minister to the lost. You know, by making sure that they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every church service with a chance to respond, which means at the end of the service, you give an invitation, whether it's to a rededication of life or it's to a first time receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This isn't just good news. It's the best news that there's ever been in the history of the world. If you want to know what it is, go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. But essentially what it says is this, is that we have a problem. We're sinners. That's what we are. And God wants a relationship with us. So in the fullness of time, He sent the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to earth to live the perfect life in human form, that Christ then went to the cross, died for our sins, was in the grave 3 days, but on the third day he rose again to the glory of God the Father. And because he rose and he has defeated death in the grave, I can receive him as my Lord. I can confess my sins because, and I can receive salvation because why? He has paid the price. He paid the price. It's just that simple, my friends. And in the process of ministering to the Lord, of ministering to the saints and the lost, we acquire wisdom from God to follow his plan for our lives. Now, let me just say a couple of quick things about wisdom. First, it will never, ever, ever contradict Scripture. Never. That's why I have elders and pastors and deacons, and every church member is welcome to challenge me on anything that we preach from this pulpit. You should know the Word of God, children. You should know the Word of God. And if you think your pastor is saying something that's not biblical, you need to talk to him about it. You need to say, I didn't get what you were just saying there, preacher. Not only will it never contradict Scripture, second, in general, it will entail common sense. What my wife likes to call walking around sense. You know, back in Louisiana, you can look at somebody and say, you know, they don't have any walking around sense. But there will be times when what the Lord is asking makes no sense whatsoever. None. Listen to me. God has a right to interdict on common sense. And I see the looks on your faces. I really do. So let me give you an example of that in Scripture. Simon Peter was what? A commercial fisherman. That's what he did for a living. He didn't know a whole lot about theology, but he knew a whole lot about fishing. So he's out there on his boat, and he fishes all night long, and he catches what? Nothing. See, I like it when the congregation talks back to me. I like it when you guys know the story. That's incredibly wonderful. And Jesus, from the shore, calls out to Simon Peter and says, "Hey, have you caught anything?" Now listen, the worst words that an unsuccessful fisherman can ever hear. "Have you caught anything?" Peter says, "Nope, I fished all night, nothing." Then Jesus says in John chapter 21, verse 6, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." Now, thankfully, because Peter normally has a bad case of foot and mouth disease, thankfully, this is one of those very few times that Peter keeps his mouth shut and simply did as the Lord instructed. So let me ask you a question. If you've been fishing all night and you haven't caught anything, then doesn't common sense tell you there's no need to do this again? Not even one more time. I don't care which side of the boat or the front or the back. There's no need. Peter could have said these words, "Hey, I'm the expert fisherman in this conversation. I'm the expert." But the Lord Jesus knew more than what Peter's common sense was telling him. And so Peter cast his net and caught a boatload of fish. Friends, we are called to be fishermen of men. We are not called to be keepers of the aquarium. Amen. We are called to be fishers of men. And how did Peter fish? With a net. You see, we are to cast a wide net. Don't go fishing for men with the gospel of Jesus Christ with a hook and a lure, or a hook and one hook. You see, when you fish with a fishing rod and a hook, you can be particular. "Oh, that looked like a good one over there. Reel it in." "Oh, that looks like a good one over there. Reel it in." But when you cast a net, you catch all kinds of fish. Amen. Look around the sanctuary. The Lord casts a wide net. Amen. Just in case you were wondering, hallelujah. Give God praise in His house. Look at the person next to you right now. Say, "I'll see you in heaven." Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? I have such a sweet friend in the back, Brother Roger Fable. You know, he's been serving the Lord for so many years. Him and I were ordained as deacons at the same time. He is so faithful. He's such a gentle, sweet man.
I hope when I get to heaven, I'm close enough to see the back of his head. Hope I'm close enough to the throne to see the back of Brother Roger's head. So listen, guys, I have a very quick life point here. And it's called the walk principle. Don't walk out on me while I say a few things about what I'm really talking about. We are fishermen of men, amen? That means that we stop talking about ministry and we get busy doing ministry. It means we stop talking about sharing the gospel and we start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we do that, then we will begin to serve the Lord. How? Every day, in every way, because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Meaning as we go, G-O, acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct, guide our paths. You see, we miss the simplest things because God does not guide us as we stand still. It's hard to steer a boat that's not moving. And we want to move out for the Lord, amen? We want to make headlines in heaven. We want people to come to Christ. It's my goal that today, that when we issue an invitation in a few moments, that if anybody has received Christ today, that they would come forward and acknowledge that publicly. Church, God guides us as we move out. And the best true answer I can give for God's will for your life is to do the nearest thing to you that should be done, that God can do through you. I thought I'd get a testimony on that. I'm glad I brought my own. Let's say that one more time. God's will for your life is to do the nearest thing to you that should be done, that God can do through you. Let's simplify this even more. Be faithful in all the little things. And he will trust you with bigger things. Amen? Amen. And the next thing you know, you got a boatload of fish. You got a boatload of fish. All because you listened to your Heavenly Father. Our problem is that we want to know it all. We want to know all the particulars of the plans, all the details. Lord, I'll follow you if you show me the whole plan first. I need to know the particulars. But friends, the will of God is not a detailed blueprint to be studied from beginning and end. It's a scroll that you unroll as you go through life. And you trust the Lord in this step, that the Lord knows what he's doing. And then you trust the Lord in the next step, and you simply step out in the Lord. And step by step, oar stroke by oar stroke, net cast by net cast, you move. Until once again, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Okay, Pastor, that's nice. You read that again. So what? You see, here's what. The English word direct in that path, in that passage, is actually the Hebrew word yashar. Yeah, I can see how excited you guys are about that. Isn't that wonderful news? Let's get your Hebrew class for this week. It doesn't just mean show the way, but it is literally the idea of a huge earth mover moving. It's not just that, stick with me now, it's not just that God opens a way. It's not just that God shows the way. It's that God clears the way. God clears the way. What man thought was impossible, God is easily possible for him. It's the idea of an earth mover knocking down the high spots, filling in the low spots, straightening out the crooked road. It's the idea of God clearing all obstacles. And friends, when you commit your life to the Lord, an incredible thing will happen. Pay attention. One more minute and we're done. When you commit yourself to Jesus, the Lord will bulldoze for you. The Lord will clear a path for you. It won't always be easy. I'm not preaching some prosperity gospel here. But you will know it was of the Lord. Amen. Because it is God's heart. It is God's desire. It's God's will that none should be lost. You see, we tend to look at people and say, oh yeah, that one needs saving. But we don't look at the unsightly. We don't look at those that have been evil for almost their entire life as being worthy of being saved. God's will is that none should be lost. May I share with this with you in closing? As I have obeyed God in my life, as I have been willing to submit my life to His plan, His will, wherever He would lead me, my great God, my awesome God,
has opened doors that I never thought were even close to being possible. Friends, our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above anything you could ever imagine or dream yourself. And I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot. But if we do that, if we're obedient to God, then just maybe, together, we can be a part of what God wants to do in South Florida. Amen?
Amen.
Leaving nothing undone that He is giving us, or our elders, or our former pastors and preachers. Maybe, just maybe, we can get a boatload of fish. I see a great journey stretching out before us. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Well, it all began for me when I received Jesus Christ as Lord. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,
amen.
As our praise team comes back up here and our singers, we have come to that part of our service where we are going to issue an invitation. And this invitation, some people think that you have to fulfill special things in order to be saved. Friends, all that you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as Lord. God said, Jesus said in His Word, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but will have everlasting life." Whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. But see, God put down rules for that. Because doubting Thomas wanted to know the way to get there. And Jesus said, as we already quoted, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so today, if there was something that this old pastor said during the message, or is the singing of this sweet praise team and our hymns and our worship songs and our praise songs, if it was the smiling face of the sweet lady that greeted you in the back, or the handshake of the person sitting next to you, whatever it was, if something happened and in an instant you realize that you wanted Jesus Christ as your Lord, that you did receive Him, I want you to know that you're already saved. We're going to formalize that in just a moment with a prayer. Now listen to me. This is so important. God's rules are whosoever will. Whosoever. See, God's not particular. You just must come to His Son. You know, I think of the thieves on the cross. On one side, a priest cursed the Lord. On the other side, the thief praised God, praised the Lord, and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "This very day you shall be in paradise with me." You see, that thief didn't have time. He didn't have time to go to church. He didn't have time to do good works. He didn't have time to get busy in church business. I can't believe I'm going to say this as a Baptist preacher. He didn't have time to give of his offering. He didn't have time to do anything except receive the Lord. But we want to do those good things. Amen? We want to serve God. We want to do good works. We want to do those things. And we want to make sure that we live a life of honoring God. I don't know what will happen, and neither do you, when we leave here today. In a few moments, we're going to have a fellowship. We have good food. But I don't know what's going to happen. And so if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, I invite you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord today, I want you to know that you are already saved. That 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels gave a great shout in heaven. But I want you to repeat this prayer quietly in your heart. Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came from heaven to earth to die for my sins. And because you defeated death in the grave, I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. Please save me, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, just as I am. And if you receive Christ today for the first time in your life, I want you to do like this young man just did, young Johnny. I want you to come forward. Johnny received Christ after service last week. He had a conversation with myself and our pastors. And after the message, he came and spoke with us. And we talked to him. We're very careful with young people. Ms. Trudy can share that with you. We're very careful. But he has had a very real salvation experience. And he received Christ last week. And we just wanted to share that this week. Amen. Amen. But God is waiting to take more. God wants more to come. So if you've received Jesus as the Lord of your life and you've never publicly made a profession of Christ, as we stand and sing, if you would please stand all over the sanctuary. As we stand and sing, would you please step out and come forward to receive Jesus Christ.
Number 307, this is okay. I am.
All right. Okay, boys. So both of you have received Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. All right. So let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for these two young men that they have come forward, Father, to profess Jesus Christ as the Lord of their lives. Father, I thank you for their commitment. I thank you for their heart. I thank you for their willingness to follow them all the days of their life. Father, I thank you that they are willing to come forward this time. Lord, I ask that you be with them, that you bless them from the crowns of their head to the soles of their feet. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you guys to stand right here, okay?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Come to pray.